Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News on digital FM, Sirius Satellite Radio, and online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Coming up, the best mixtape ever, or on the internet at least. A new site gives you the power to do it. We're going to find out how it works.
First, let's get some news headlines.
This is NPR.
It's going to be another rough day in the skies. American Airlines is canceling 900 more flights to inspect and fix faulty wiring in hundreds of jets. The problem could cause fires, officials say. This is the third straight day of massive groundings, and American Airlines may cancel more flights Friday. It's the United States' largest airline. Nearly half of its planes may be violating federal safety rules. The polls are closed in Nepal. Today's election there may spell the end of a 240-year-old monarchy in the Himalayan nation. Security was tight, but there was also scattered violence. Voters weren't deterred, though. They lined up before dawn across the country. The run-up to the election has been violent, with one candidate killed. This is Nepal's first election in 9 years. Results won't come in until at least late April. Texas investigators made a new discovery in their week-long search of a polygamous compound in El Dorado. They found a bed inside a temple that prosecutors believe men used to sexually abuse underage girls. More than 400 children from the compound are in state custody. The Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or FLDS, controls the compound. FLDS leader Warren Jeffs is in prison for unrelated polygamy crimes. At least one person is dead after strong storms and high winds tore through West Texas and parts of Oklahoma. In San Angelo, Texas, an apparent tornado with 70-mile-an-hour winds struck just after midnight. It ripped shingles from roofs and flipped vehicles. Heavy rain and flash flooding have also been reported in Arkansas. The Masters Golf Tournament begins today in Augusta, Georgia. All eyes are on Tiger Woods. The Masters is the first of golf's four major championships. Expectations are high that Woods could be the first golfer to win them all in the same calendar year. Here's NPR's Tom Goldman.
Tiger Woods is playing better than ever, and that's saying a lot. He's already won 13 major championships, Jack Nicklaus's record is 18, and has ruled the game for the last decade. Woods has won three of the four PGA Tour events he's played this year, and when asked this week about winning all four major tournaments this season, Woods reminded reporters he won all four in a row before, though not in the same year. Most of his fellow pros refer to Woods in glowing terms. One who's consistently refused to bow down is South African Rory Sabatini, but history says he's already out of the running at the Masters. Yesterday, Sabatini won the pre-tournament par 3 contest. No golfer has won the par 3 and the Masters the same year. Sabatini shrugged it off, saying he doesn't believe in curses. Tiger Woods didn't play the par 3.
NPR's Tom Goldman reporting. And that's the news. You can find it online all the time at npr.org.
This is NPR.
The internet is excellent. So how do you reward excellence of the excellent? The Webbies. The nominations were announced earlier this week, and multimedia entertainment expands as it has, so do the categories at the Webbies. 12 years after its start, the Webbies now, of course, include internet video, many internet video categories, too. Chris Albrecht watches internet TV for a living. He's a staff writer for NewTV.com. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. So there are a lot of categories under the heading of internet video and film at the Webbies this year. I want to focus on a couple. Let's start with comedy, individual short or episode. Two major players in this category, collegehumor.com and a website called Super Deluxe. Tell us about the difference between the two sites.
Sure. Well, you know, what's interesting is that they're both owned by bigger companies. Hmm. So College Humor is owned by Barry Diller's IAC, and Super Deluxe is owned by Time Warner. So you've got big players, and they take two very different approaches to their video. Super Deluxe goes out and hires people to basically pay creators, like famous creators like Maria Bamford, the Scar Brothers, Bob Odenkirk. They've got some real names creating content for them. While College Humor does it all in-house, they've got a small crew, and they go and they create really funny videos, but they do it in-house all on their own, writing, shooting, editing, all of it.
But you got two big companies paying the bills, though, ultimately, right?
Yes, but, you know, it's not like they're throwing, it's not TV money.
Gotcha.
So it's still internet money, so no one is making, you know, no one is retiring off what they're making off the internet. But it certainly helps, you know, in the case of Super Deluxe, they've got some sketch comedy groups who are able to quit their day jobs and do this full time, at least for a while Super Deluxe kept their show online. I remember a sketch group called Old English out of Brooklyn was able to quit their day job and basically make videos full-time, which is nice. You know, they're able to do something that they really love.
Well, let's play a clip from one of the nominees for Best Comedy Episode. It's a sketch about an entertainment-type agent for agents. This is from Super Deluxe. It's called Copy That.
Hey, is that a copy of the fax of the ICM contract?
This is a copy of the copy of that fax.
Good. Email it to me.
Okay.
My name is Benji Lessman, and I am an agent's agent. Not because I am particularly like well-liked by other agents, but because I literally am an agent who represents other agents.
And then later on in the sketch, the Sklar brothers come in. This has really become a refuge for non-punchline-driven sketch comedy.
Absolutely. You know, you're able to create kind of, it's the realm for kind of more absurd humor. In the case of the layers, it's kind of, it's an industry play, like an entertainment industry poke. It's an agent who represents agents. And it's got Nick Kroll, who, for good or bad, I think it was in the Caveman pilot that was on TV last year on ABC.
I'm going to put that in the bad category. Hey, and the nominees in the category of Best Comedy Series is the Onion News Network. Everybody knows about the Onion. Let's play a clip from a spoof of a morning news show interview.
We've got an update to a truly inspirational story we first told you about earlier this week. I'm talking about Brian Pete, the fat boy from Richmond, Virginia, who successfully averted ridicule by swimming, get this, with his shirt on.
Amazing.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, Brian, who's been fat since birth, was tired of being made fun of at the community pool. So when it came time to hit the water, Brian devised a plan to keep his upper body covered. Now today, the Onion News Network has more on that fat little boy's big fat discovery.
Oh, that's not even funny. And there's actually a fat kid in the clip. Does this walk the line of good taste for you?
You know, I think the Onion is just genius at not crossing that line. It's like driving right up to the edge, maybe getting the front two wheels of the car over the precipice, but not flipping all the way over. I mean, they're really consistently, just for years, have been really sharp satire. And in that case, you know, they are poking fun of a kid's weight. But I think in the way they do it, they're more also poking fun of, like, cheesy morning shows. Because if you watch the video, it's two very airbrushed kind of phony-looking morning hosts with big whitened smiles looking at each other, you know, and kind of having a sense of self-importance. But the Onion just, you know, consistently, they added video, I think, a year and a half ago. And just were able to take their brand and move it into this whole new realm and just never lost a beat. I mean, their headlines are just as funny on the video. They mock shows like the McLaughlin Group. They mock news reports. And it's all done in a really sharp way.
Well, let's move on to the drama category, which surprised me a little bit because nobody ever forwards me a dramatic clip to look at this. Like, hey, watch this piece of cinema. Has this become a fertile ground for dramatic video?
Well, you know, for drama series, I think you're going to start seeing more of that. But for right now, you're absolutely right. It's never like someone's going to go, hey, Allison, I want you to watch this because it's really going to make you cry.
Right.
You know, when you're at work and you've got 5 minutes, you're really just looking for kind of a release, and you're not looking to get involved in a story. The other thing is with comedy, you can kind of get in and get out. You can do a bit, and you're done, whereas drama relies more on setting up a character and doing something over the long haul, over a series of episodes instead of just kind of a one-off.
But there are some mini documentaries that have done well and were nominated for the Webbies.
You know, the Internet's been a great place for documentaries because before, if a filmmaker had a short documentary, there really wasn't anywhere for them to take it. You could put it on the film festival circuit, but then you're only going to reach a certain number of people. And even of that, you're going to be in a shorts program of a film festival, so that's cutting it down even more. And then you would have to travel with it all over the country in order to reach kind of the audience that you'd be able to generate online. So the Internet's been a great place for people to do really powerful documentaries that are under, you know, 20 minutes long, under 10 minutes long, sometimes even as little as 3 minutes long.
Yeah, let's take a listen to one of these. It's nominees in the individual episode category in drama. It's called Kids and Money. It's on the New York Times website. The filmmaker talks to all kinds of teenagers about their attitudes about money and buying things. Here are two fairly princess-like 16-year-old girls explaining what's an appropriate amount of money to spend on clothes for school.
Going to the things that are four digits, I think that's very inappropriate for school.
Yeah, for school.
It's not really necessary to spend a couple grand on something you're just wearing to go to class in. But if you want, like, a really nice classic bag, it's definitely appropriate to spend that kind of, like, four digits because that's something that's really nice.
Really nice to spend 4 digits on a handbag.
Well, I don't really see the problem. I mean, I spent that in high school, you know, on a weekly basis. But, you know, it's something like that where that's a really great documentary. And before, you know, you wouldn't be able to reach people with that because it just, like I said, there was no, you could really go film festivals and maybe have a play in Europe. But U.S. television shows don't really do short programming, and there's no other venue for them. And the Internet has just been a great place for that.
Chris Albrecht, he's a staff writer for newtv.com. That's spelled TEEVEE.com. We'll link to all the Webby Award nominee videos on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
We also want to mention that our own Wynn Rosenfeld got an honorable mention at the Webby Awards for the NPR Climate Connection piece, It's All About Carbon, featuring NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich. We'll link through to that as well. Congratulations, Wynn.
Very exciting.